Welcome back to the last segment of the Real Investment Hour. I'm Rich Rosso. And again, we have been talking to Steve Sarge Guilfoyle, who's the founder and president of Sarge 986 LLC. And again, Ford trader for 30 years, but really, he's out there tweeting and writing his morning report, and I get his email every morning, and very insightful with his boots on the ground. And hey, you want to hear a bit of needless trivia there, Sarge?
Sure, go ahead.
So I watch, you know, I'm still stuck in shows that from the 70s and 80s, so I was watching Mama's Family last night. And I said, I wonder what the Dow was when this show was produced. 1986. Do you remember what?
Oh, 1986?
Yeah.
Well, in 1987, it was 2,800 when it went the day of the crash. It crashed down to about 2,300. So, 86, I'm going to guess. We did ramp up in 87, so without looking anything up, I'm going to guess in 1986, at the time of that show, the Dow was probably around 2,100.
Okay, but you're kind of close. 1895.
All right.
This is the kind of stuff, because I don't really have much of a life. This is what I do at
you're
night.
You're the Mets, too. Yeah,
exactly. I understand that. Well, hey, I think John had a really good question for you. So, John, why don't you throw it out to Sarge?
Hey, Steve, yeah, I'm the new guy here, but I just I was wondering. We look at high yield bonds, and you know they of course trade in tandem with stocks sometimes, and maybe we don't have the best view of the market looking at ETFs, but that's what we have to go on. And they looked remarkably stable over the past few days when stocks were melting down. I was curious if you had a more insightful view of the high yield bond, of the junk bond market, and how that might be affecting stocks.
Well, it's not really my arena, but I would expect that high yield would start to give way at some point. If treasuries are going to work their way a little higher, and equities are going to become volatile, because I think volatility is probably the new norm, mm-hmm. then I think you're probably going to start giving up a little more yield in that space. And I think it's inevitable, given the new tax law with the Russell 2000 stocks that are heavily indebted, they're not going to be able to write off all their debt anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that they probably become a little more susceptible to risk than they had been in the past. So I would, without having a professional view of that market, I would think that that would be a riskier market than it has been for the last 8 years.
We had the same thought. We have to work on getting a better view of that market now, I think.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, one of the things... Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
I was just saying that the U.S. 10-year, I was just looking at it, just went under 2.8 just now, so it's 2.799.
Yep. We figured it would sort of stop around this level. You know, it's just finding that equilibrium for where we are at this stage, and it's not easy to figure out, because we've been in 10 years of pretty much doldrums, and this is our first real – they don't use the term on CNBC anymore, but they did a heck of a lot – you know, a couple of terms. Escape velocity, green shoots, and we don't hear much about that now.
I think we might be hitting escape velocity on the economy. Now, I don't know how far it's going to go, mm-hmm. because, I mean, if they don't bring in enough revenue on the taxable growth, then this is going to be a short-lived economic boom. It's going to be a 2-3-year thing, mm-hmm. and then we're going to have problems a little bit down the road. But if the growth is what Steve Mnuchin thinks it's going to be, if we do get a miraculous 4% GDP, or that approaches something around 4.5%, then this could be a pretty good decade going forward. How do you know? There's so many moving parts.
Correct.
I think you have to invest smartly. That's easier said than done, but you really have to think about these things. I know plenty of people who are not in the industry, and they don't think about these things. They don't even know we had a flash crash yesterday, some of these people. And I think it's important for everyone, even if you're banging a hammer all day long, but you have money set aside for retirement somewhere. I think you really have, and you're not making a decision on it more than once a quarter or so. You still have to be cognizant of what's going on, so you can make an informed decision, and so you don't have to trust that guy across the desk, because you and I know not all those guys, not all of them are trustworthy, and not all of them are really truly as knowledgeable as they should be. So you have mm-hmm. to know and trust that advisor.
Right, and it's your money, and we were just talking about that. You do need to ask questions, and it's worth being engaged. You know, frankly, obviously, you know that, what, how many what percentage of the population even have IRAs or 401k?
Oh, it's like 50% of the people are even in the market. 50%
that are in the market. So, any thoughts on the? I know we talked about Bitcoin. It's been pretty quiet, but any thoughts on cryptocurrencies? Any observations? Things that stay in your mind based on what we've seen lately?
Well, I think as we predicted, the central banks are starting to come after them. I mean, we heard the general manager, I forget his name, from the BIS come out and basically call crypto a Ponzi scheme. I'm not sure all of them are a Ponzi scheme, but I don't own any of them except for the miners. I do invest in the miners. But I do think that this is going to be an extremely volatile asset class going forward. And there is going to be a use somewhere for one of them. Not all of them, probably one of them. Maybe it'll be Bitcoin. But for countries that have extremely unstable currencies and do need to buy things in bulk, let's say Venezuela, they're an easy example we can pick on them. They need to have something that other countries will trade with them for. Let's say I don't have to buy tons of wheat for their people because their people are starving. You're never going to buy a hamburger or, toys for your kid at Christmas was with Bitcoin, but you might buy tons of wheat with Bitcoin if you're a big corporation or if you're a government.
Well, and you brought this up before the break. What people if you do some homework outside of the Bitcoin and read about blockchain, there are a lot of big organizations that are taking blockchain seriously, and you brought up one of those organizations, IBM.
Blockchain's it's an evolving industry. We don't know yet whether it's Betamax or VHS, but it's obviously somewhere where we can take the next level as far as trust goes in terms of commerce. It may be a job killer. Who knows? Places like in the financial industry, we replace clearinghouses if it works. We have to find out if it truly is resistant to hacking. We don't know for sure yet. I mean, I know the people that are selling it think it is, but I've also heard stories that it can be hacked. So I don't know what to think there, but I do know I want some exposure to it, just like I want exposure to the cloud. I use Microsoft and Oracle for that and Amazon. And that's why I started. IBM has been as dead as a doornail for like 5 or 6 years, right?
Well,
they seem to be waking up all of a sudden, although they came in with all the other stocks the last few days. But
of course,
they do seem like they had a better earnings call. They do seem like they're going in a new direction on a few names. I think Ginni Rometty is finally turning the company into a more efficient company. So I did finally bite the bullet and buy some IBM just because they are exposing themselves to blockchain technology, not just on cryptos, but on the technology.
Well, I think their revenue numbers look better, right? We finally got some really positive information feedback from them and information from IBM.
Yeah. No, it definitely seemed like something's going in the right direction over there. And she seems more confident in the calls than she has in a while. And I think she was in Davos, and I watched her interview, and I was impressed with her for the first time. And not that she did anything wrong to not earn my trust in the past, but I listened to her and I was like, whoa, that sounds like somebody that has an idea, and she's going somewhere with it. So I put a little faith in her.
Do you think this is a fair assessment? And tell me if I'm wrong here, but when I listen to conference calls now, I get a better feel, or CEOs are less wishy-washy. In other words, I'm getting a better feel, maybe it's just because there is some traction in the economy, but I'm getting a feel that they feel more confident to provide, I don't know, the guidance seems to be a little clearer.
Well,
I don't know, something's changed.
The guidance is good. Generally across the board, earnings are good and guidance is good, which actually this helps right now because now forward-looking, we were trading the Dow and the S&P were trading 19 or almost 20 times forward-looking earnings. Now the prices have come in a little bit and the guidance is better.
Mm-hmm.
So now the Dow is down, I think, 16 times earnings. I don't know what it is right now, but I think that was last night. And the S&P was down in the low 17s. So now all of a sudden we're not really grossly overvalued anymore. We may be a little bit overvalued by historical terms, but historical terms don't really matter all that much when you consider that we had twice as many stocks in the old days and that many of these stocks had more shares in the float than they do now.
And John, you were talking about that the other night.
Down
to
about 3,500.
Yeah. Issue going on. Yeah, so I think stocks deserve a higher valuation, especially when you have all these funds that have to buy equities. I mean, I think there's more funds than there are stocks these days.
That's absolutely true. So what, as you know, again, being there in the trenches 30 years, what are you looking for as far as stock, you know, just the stock climate, say, for the rest of the week? What are you looking for, good or bad? What you know, I know, like, if something is not right, probably the hair at the back of your neck, this is like you, this stuff runs through you in your gut. It's there and you live it. So I want to know what you think of, you know, what are you going to be your red flags and good things that you are going to be looking at for this week?
I'll tell you what, I would like to see, I would like some kind of confirmation that this volatility unwind is an event that happened already, and now we can move on with our analysis. Today, I think the low of the day for the S&P was below 2,600, but that was a spike right after the opening. There was actual resistance around 2,620, and it was tested three times throughout the day, and it passed all three tests. And so that's the level, not the lower spike that was like a mini flash crash or something. Maybe that was yesterday. Was that yesterday? Maybe that. Anyway, the low of the week was 25 something, but that 2,620 level, if they can crack that level, then we may have issues, and this may not have been a bottom. So that's what I'll see. And as a guy who watches the charts, we go into this evening a little bit overbought on the day. So we might see a little bit of a contraction in the futures market. That's natural. I wouldn't be shaken out by that if I'm a home gamer watching these things overnight or watching Asian trading. I would let it open. But if the S&P heads into those lower 26 levels around 2620, I would be paying keen attention.
Excellent. John, anything else that you feel?
I think that's it for me.
Man, Sarge, I'll tell you, you covered the gamut of things. Anything else exciting that you're seeing as far as, I mean, Snap came out after hours. Looks like their earnings were...
I can't believe that.
I know. I sort of...
I have made so much fun of this company. And now they're going to...
Me too. I mean, their numbers... yeah, absolutely. It's not a company I would touch. But this sets up the climate, you know, and sets the deck for maybe the next day, and that companies are still reporting good earnings. There's not that much of a red flag in that process. So,
the earnings are solid. Disney,
yes,
did well tonight too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mean, and what tomorrow we got? Let me just go to my quick notebook here. We got a lot of numbers tomorrow. I don't think Tesla tomorrow night. That's going to steal the show.
Oh well, with the Starman up there. Circling Mars or whatever the heck it's doing.
He launched a rocket today.
Yeah, I know he did. I don't know why he didn't go in there instead of the mannequin, but that's something we'll have to figure out later. But I will tell you something, Steve. Thank you so much, and thanks for being on with us. And thestreet.com is where you're going to read Sarge. And again, we'll have him on again. And we thank you so much.
On Fox Business tomorrow, too. I'm on at noon with Neil
Fox Caruto. Business at noon tomorrow. You've been listening. Oh, we're closing out. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you.
Where conservatives find their voice. AM 700 KSEV. Tomball, Houston. The voice of Texas.